to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Left Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 221 of the Left Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. It is going to be a historic night on the Left Traffic Podcast tonight. I am so excited. Oh, there's so much going on. We got sponsors. That's right. This week's show is brought to you by Manscaped, which I'll get to in just a minute. If you guys missed the announcement on Twitter today, stay tuned because we'll be revealing some stuff here down the road on tonight's show. I am so excited. Hope you all had a fantastic weekend. What a weekend to kick things off. Daytona 2021 NASCAR season is underway. Friday night, truck race. Oh, was I amped up Friday night. I posted a video Friday night. I think that thing got over 1,200 views, which is just incredible. I love it. Saturday, Xfinity race. Man, how awesome was that? Sunday, had some friends over for what ended up being a food and beverage party versus a Daytona 500 party. But hey, we finally got some racing in. Daytona firing up for a little Sunday night action. And I called it last week with Jeff Striegel. I had a feeling we were getting a first-time winner. And that we did. And Michael McDowell, who was on the show a couple weeks ago, which is freaking awesome. And I'll get into some of the racing talk here a little later. So much to do tonight. First show with somewhat of a normal format, all that good stuff. Speaking of last week's show with Jeff Striegel, hope you enjoyed that show. You guys had to have, because it set a new record for weekly downloads. It's not the highest downloaded show yet, but it was the highest 1 week download from Tuesday post to what will be tonight's Tuesday post, which is awesome. Hope that trend continues. Jumped up on the iTunes fantasy chart up to the top 50, which is awesome. You guys are just killing it, and I love it because I'm going to kill it. It's season 5. We're just getting started. I teased it over the weekend, two massive announcements on tonight's show. One was tweeted out earlier today. If you haven't seen it, go scroll back while you're listening to it, or be surprised and hear them throughout the show. This might give some things away a little bit here, but coming up on tonight's show, Landon Castle and Parker Kligerman, along with J-Ski's own Dustin Albino. All three of those guys are going to be on tonight, along with Aaron Studwell, who's going to have our Daytona road course forecast, along with some fantasy players making their picks as the Lap Traffic Fantasy League has kicked off. So we got lots to do tonight. But before we do, and before we get rolling, I got to do my read. That's right. I got my read for Manscaped, and I got to talk about Manscaped. Who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming? Manscaped offers precision engineer tools for the family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Join the movement for your below-the-waist grooming needs. Guys, I got my Manscaped promo package in the mail. These guys do an amazing job. They make you feel like you're pampering yourself, guys, which, hey, we can all do that. They have their Lawnmower 3.0, which is absolutely incredible. The technology on this thing is top-notch, let me tell you guys. It's got LED lighting. It's waterproof. This thing is incredible. So quit nicking and doing all that kind of stuff with everything else that's out there. You guys need to go and get the Lawnmower 3.0. And also, I got to talk about, because this is just hysterical, because when I got this in the mail and all that, you know, a couple years ago, out camping with the PETM boys down in Atlanta, Darlington, you know, camping in a tent, hot, all that kind of stuff. Guys, if you're camping at racetracks this summer, you guys need to go and get the crop mops. Yeah, they're ball wipes, boys. I'm just going to lay it right all out there for you. You need to go get these because they are incredible. They'll give you that little refreshing pick-me-up that you might need on a hot Saturday afternoon camping at a NASCAR race. So with all that said, go to manscaped.com, get 20% off and free shipping with code LAPPED. That's LAPPED. Go get some stuff. Your balls and your ladies will probably thank you. All right, I made it through my first read. That was fun. I enjoyed that. All right, guys, let's keep things rolling here. Let's get to our first major blockbuster announcement. Let's get Landon Castle and Parker Kligerman on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his fifth appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He's the driver of the number four with JD Motorsports. The other is making his Lap Traffic debut. He's ran in all three NASCAR series. He's got two truck wins and is a pit reporter for NASCAR and NBC. It's Parker Kligerman. Gentlemen, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Great. Thanks for having us on.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Yep. Yes, thank you for coming on. I'm pumped. We got a couple things to talk about. We got a little announcement to make. Let's start with this, man. Landon, debut this weekend in the number four. Had a great run going. Casualty of Daytona Racing, though. You know, you were on a couple weeks ago. You felt pretty confident. That carried over for sure. Talk a little bit about the race this past Saturday.
Yeah, I mean it was definitely a on-brand Daytona race. It just anything can happen. You go from riding around trying to miss wrecks. Felt like I had a career day of missing crashes and put myself in position to maybe win the race or at least have a top five, and it just didn't work out. Ended up in the grass.
Yeah,
so
man, that grass.
That's Daytona.
Wet.
Yeah, and it was wet grass, so not good. But. Really proud of our effort and happy to be full time behind the wheel and competing for a win at Daytona. So, on to the grind of the season.
Yeah.
You
man.
Buried the lead. Coolest part about that was you took a virtual sponsorship and car paint scheme and made it reality in Daytona and were in position to win the thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with Blue Emu on the car, so my relationship with Blue Emu started last year through the Pro Invitational Series on iRacing on Fox and grew from basically that sponsorship to a Twitch sponsorship and a Twitch community that is rabid about Blue Emu and put it on a real race car for the first time in a year. So they were really excited. We had eRacer on the car, which we're going to talk about, which was actually probably even more exciting for Parker and I just to have something that we own. And that was my first venture into sponsoring a race car. So it was very good, Parker. Yes, I did bury the lead a little bit.
Oh, that's awesome. And Parker, unfortunately, man, missed out on running the Friday night in the 75. Are we going to see a few more attempts from you, though, this year in the truck series?
Oh, yeah. I was shocked. I didn't think in a million years we would have missed that race. We had eRacer on the 75 Henderson Motorsports truck as well, as people know. And we showed up to a Super Speedway in that truck. We expect a challenge for the win. But there was 46 trucks, tons of them, and we just didn't have the speed to get in there. But so the 75 will be doing Daytona Road Course, and then I'll be back in it at Atlanta, and then we'll be doing our normal 8 to 10 races through the whole season, sort of spread out. So the road courses, the dirt race at Bristol, and a couple others in between. So we'll be back, and I think we're going to have a great season of 75. We didn't get off the best start, but we'll put that behind us. And the last time we missed Daytona in 2017, we had a great year.
That's awesome. No, man, That Daytona truck race was incredible, man. I was pulling for Corey Roper out of turn four. Man, that would have just been one hell of a Cinderella story there. And, man, I look forward to watching you wheel that thing around the dirt at Bristol because I love some truck dirt racing, man. If it's anything like Eldora, I can only imagine the high banks at Bristol with dirt is going to be one hell of a truck race.
Yeah, actually, and from what I'm hearing, the field is going to be quite competitive. So I believe there is numerous Cup Series drivers interested in running the truck race there to get some experience. So if we thought Daytona was hard to make, going to a dirt Bristol, knowing I've only ever done two dirt races my entire life back in ARCA, I think we're in for a serious challenge, but it should be a lot of fun.
That's awesome. All right, guys, let's talk a little bit about your eRacer series. Landon, when you were on a couple weeks ago, I know we just scratched the surface of that, but let's dive deep on it. Talk about the series, the growth, where you've come from and where you guys hope to take this eRacer series.
Yeah. So I really, eRacer is to Parker and I, at least, you know, we'll see how the community receives it over the next year. But to Parker and I, eRacer is a sim racing brand with a goal of bridging the gap between real world racing and sim racing. And we want to be able to do things in the sim racing world, particularly with our events, that you can't do or wouldn't do in the real world. So if for a perfect example, we're running unrestricted COT cars at Daytona this week, starting with the Carnomaly 500. We're putting up a bigger prize purse than any independent sim racing event has ever put up. We're going to have the largest entry list, the best broadcast, the most interactive experience for viewers, and the most challenging format. And, you know, we want sim racers to have fun. So we make it fun. We don't try to make it too professional. We're not trying to copycat NBC or Fox. But so it's still very esports like, but it's real competition.
That's awesome. And so you guys are unique in that you've had to go and develop and build a platform for this too, right?
Yeah. So as Landon alluded to, you know, one of our ethos at eRacer is to do what real racing can't or won't, right? And that stems through everything we do, which is, you know, iRacing has built this incredible simulation that obviously has gotten a lot of fanfare over the last year and has become really popular. And we've been on it, you know, since the start, basically. But one of the things we started to notice was, you know, there's an opportunity. You're using sim racing and using eRacer to, one, build a community that, you know, are passionate about sim racing and passionate about real life motorsports, and to try and bridge that gap between the two, but then also to do things that you couldn't do in the real life to show maybe the real world series, hey, this is possible. Maybe we should try and bring this into the real world. So it stems from everything we do, from the design of the tournaments, right? Like in real life, it's really tough to do a tournament in motorsports. You have the Chile Bowl, which is the closest thing to what we're doing in the sim world. But you can't expect the Chile Bowl to one day have 1,000 cars, right? We can expect that, you know, maybe in a year or two, we have an event that has well over 1,000 people starting at the top of the event, working their way down to the main event. So that's the kind of scale that's possible on sim racing. We, you know, to do this though, no one is really doing it at the level we are. So it means we've had to develop the systems of how, you know, we sort all these drivers, how we design the, you know, where they race and what the structure of the tournament is like, down to the broadcast. We're developing new broadcast tech, a couple different verticals in terms of basically the way you're going to view the broadcast, the way the graphics come across, and then also the interactivity on the broadcast with Twitch, which is something we're really excited about with this event, the Carnomaly 500 that we're unveiling. So it's quite an undertaking, you know, and what do they say, like the first through the wall is bloodiest. You know, we've definitely learned a lot, but we're passionate about it, and it's a ton of work, but I think the response that we're seeing from the community, and as eRacer continues to grow and becomes, you know, more identifiable amongst the community, I think, you know, we're hopefully doing something that's consistently a value add to sim racing and to motorsports. And if we do that, I think we'll be really happy where we end up.
That's so cool. Due time. So it's kind of like, you know, if I use the analogy, like a world's poker event, you know, you're going to have, you know, a bunch of tables, and eventually getting down to that final table to play for the big money. That's kind of the structure for the Carnomaly 500. It's a 3-week event, a bunch of prelim races. You know, winners are going to advance to the next round of the final race, week 3. Talk about, you know, could I, who's never turned one lap on an e-race, you know, have signed up for this and ran a prelim race, or were, you know, did you have to have like a certain rating or something like that to even be able to run the first week of prelims?
No, it's a totally open event on iRacing. We allow all skill levels, all I ratings into the event. You know, we let the prize pool speak for itself. Ultimately we attract a lot of highly competitive racers.
Sure.
I think at least half of the eNASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing Series drivers are entered in the event. We have a lot of Road to Pro and Pro Series drivers in the event, a lot of high iRating drivers, they call them aliens on the service, are in the event. But there's a lot of underdog stories too. In our last event, the Firecracker 400, we had drivers with an iRating in the 2000s make the main event, make the Firecracker 400 and finish in the top 10. So it's really anyone's race, because it's on a super speedway, because it's using the COT car, it's fun to drive. It's not a car that people are used to racing. So it almost levels the playing field. People sort of learn the car together through our practice races. And a lot of times the guys, the drivers that are rewarded are the ones that practice the most. And sometimes those are the drivers that need it the most. And I think when we get to the prelims, you're going to find that that you're going to be surprised by some underdog stories. So there'll be some good drivers advancing. And like Parker said, it's just going to be a lot of fun from top to bottom for the drivers. The competition is tough. For the broadcast, it's going to be unique. And for the viewers on the broadcast, they're going to be able to play a fantasy game during the race. You know, you're not gonna have to sign up, you just as long as you're logged into your Twitch account on the screen from your desktop computer or your laptop, you'll be able to play a fantasy game along with the prelim races, which is really exciting. We'll be giving away prizes for that.
That's so cool. All right, well guys, what do you say we make the announcement? I've teased, I've got a couple big announcements on the show. Let's get to this one right now. Landon, why don't you go ahead and tell everybody the partnership for the Carnomaly 500?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm super excited to announce that Lap Traffic Podcast is the official podcast of the Carnomaly 500. So, you know, come here, get any of your updates. We're going to be airing special shows for the Carnomaly 500 with interviews with drivers, following along with storylines, giving you updates after the prelims, after qualifying, and the Battle One, the Blue Emu Battle 150s. And Valvoline pole qualifying, and then obviously for the Carnomaly 500, we'll have some stories for you. We'll talk to drivers. We'll see what's going on, and then you can find it all right here at Lap Traffic Podcast.
Yes, I'm so excited about that, Parker. So you and Landon, you guys are going to come on and do some bonus shows over the next couple weeks, along with some winners. I'm excited to get you guys back on, man.
Absolutely. First of all, thanks, you know, for doing this. We're excited as well. And, you know, it's cool to have this, you know, sort of content throughout the week as throughout the weeks of the event. And to, you know, one of the things we always try to do is the drivers that participate in our events. We want to get them more well known. We want people to, you know, be paying attention to maybe that underdog who no one, you know, thought would maybe have a chance, who goes on to become, you know, one of the leading storylines of the event. Or it's your eNASCAR drivers or real life NASCAR IndyCar drivers that are part of the event. So we appreciate you, you know, being a part of this and doing this with us. And I look forward to, you know, coming on here myself and Landon throughout the event and giving updates and telling people what we're seeing. And I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. So, you know, when we design these events, the reason we do them over multiple weeks is to have that ability to sort of, you know, have constant content, to have the ability for people to get invested in the event throughout that time, to see storylines develop. And that's really what we feel like you can do in sim racing that you can't do in real life. And so, you know, we're really excited to see that play out here and all of it on Lap Traffic Podcast.
Guys, I am so excited. I am honored. This is a new venture for me to do something like this. Lap Traffic Nation, you guys are getting at least 3 weeks of bonus shows starting this Friday. Landon and Parker are going to be jumping on to recap the prelim races. You'll hear from race winners of the Carnomaly 500 prelims. Same thing next Friday. And then the final week, both Parker and Landon and the event winner of the Carnomaly 500 are going to come on and recap everything. Tons of bonus content. Guys, why don't you tell everybody where they can keep up with and follow eRacer, Carnomaly, and times and all that stuff, and where they can tune in to watch these events?
Yeah, so you know, starting Wednesday, February 17th, we're beginning our prelim races at 7 p.m. Eastern. We'll have four prelims each night. They're going to go late into the evening. I think Kyle Busch is on Wednesday night. Dale Jr. is going to be on Thursday night, the 18th. So those every broadcast is going to be on eracer_GG on Twitch. You can find us on Twitter, eracer_GG. And then the second round will be February 24th and 25th. That's Valvoline Pole Day, Blue EMU Battle 150s. And then the main event is March 3rd. Every broadcast starts at 7 p.m. Eastern.
Awesome. I am so excited. I can't wait to start watching some of these. Can't wait to talk to some of the racers, the winners, all that good stuff. Guys, I'm so honored. I can't wait to do this with you guys. It's awesome. Lap Traffic Nation, huge thanks to Landon and Parker for calling in tonight to promote the Carnomaly 500 and to announce that the Lap Traffic Podcast is the official podcast of the Carnomaly 500. Guys, looking forward to chatting with you both over the next couple weeks, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us on, and for everyone listening out there, I don't know if we even alluded to it. You know, there's a $15,000 prize pool in this sim racing event, and I think someone's going to walk away with a lot of money at the end. So definitely tune in; it's going to be really exciting.
That's awesome. I love it, guys. All right, we'll talk to you guys soon. Well, Lap Traffic Nation, man, how cool is that? I am so pumped to be the official podcast of the Carnomaly 500. Branching out, doing some stuff that I don't normally do, which is, do a little e-racing, i-racing, whatever front letter you want to use, type coverage with Landon Castle and Parker Kligerman's e-racer series. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited for the venture. Hopefully get the show out there to a new audience and help keeping the brand of Lap Traffic growing and all that good stuff. So I'm looking forward to that. It was great. Parker and Landon were able to come on. They're going to be on these bonus shows. So the next three Fridays are guaranteed bonus shows with some coverage from the Carnomaly 500. You're going to hear from some winners, some drivers in the series, as well as Landon and Parker will be rotating for the next 2 weeks, as well as the final show. Both of them will be on with the event winner. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Some bonus shows coming down the pipe here, which is pretty cool. I'm looking forward to that. All right, let's keep this show rolling. As you guys know, it would be about the time where I would be talking about some racing. We had three races at Daytona. I'm going to do some very loose coverage and talking points of these events, just because the next guest that's going to be on after the social media segment, we're going to get into Daytona here. So I'm just going to highlight a couple things that stuck out to me because I don't want this thing to go too long. I'm going to try to keep these shows a little shorter than some of the 2 hour shows that we had last year, per your responses on the end of the year survey thing that I put out there. So I'm going to try to condense some things a little bit if possible. All right. So trucks, man, Sauter on the pole, looked good the first two stages, of course, got caught up in one. Hopefully that is not a sign of things to come for Johnny. Johnny had enough of that last year, and definitely curious to see what Johnny's able to do this weekend at the road course. Haley Deegan ran a good race, started mid-pack of the race, maintained position, moved up a little, moved down a little, kept it clean, got caught up in one. Hey, that's Daytona. So curious to see what she's able to do throughout the truck season as well. I know she was a focal point. Cameras were on her a lot when she was on the track, and I expect that to remain the same. So hopefully we can see what she's able to do. And then, man, I think the two big things here is Jordan Anderson back up there again, finishing second. He almost got it done last year. He almost gets it done this year. But Ben Rhodes gets the job done for Thor Sport Racing. I've talked, when CJ Wolliver and I did the truck show, we talked about Ben, that we needed to see a little bit more out of Ben. Last year, it was Grant Enfinger at Thor picking up the win. This year, it's Ben Rhodes. So that's awesome for his team and to be able to kickstart 2021 like that. And Corey Roper, Lap Traffic alum. He's been on the show a couple times. Man, was I jumping up and down for him. Leading the Daytona 500, coming off the backstretch into turn three. Just wrong place, wrong time. Thankfully, he was able to keep it together and bring that truck home third. He's running full-time this year, self-funded team with his family and all that kind of stuff. So that is really cool that Corey Roper was able to get a third-place finish there. You guys know there will be a lot more truck talk this weekend or next week for sure, but there's still a lot to do today. So I'm going to keep that there for the trucks, Xfinity. I mean, what else is there to say other than Cindric picking up right where he left off last year's defending Xfinity champ, picking up the win at Daytona? You know, it's an inevitability that this guy's going to make noise in the Cup Series. Guys did what they needed to do, took advantage of some situations that were afforded to them. Harrison Burton, Jeb Burton, top fives. AJ Allmendinger picked up a top five. I expect to see many more top fives, potentially a win out of him this weekend. Brandon Brown, Myatt Snyder, Daniel Hemric. I expected a lot more out of Daniel Hemric last year, so hopefully he's able to up his game a little bit this year as well. And curious to see who quickly gets back to winning ways in the Xfinity series. So they'll be back on the track Friday or Saturday afternoon around 5 o'clock, which is cool. And then the Cup Series. And after almost a 6-hour rain delay, we finally got back racing. Was it going to be Harvick, Hamlin, or Logano is what it was looking like it was setting up for. The Fords got the advantage on the field when they pitted with about 30 laps to go ahead of the Toyotas. I think guys started to go a little too early, in my opinion, which doesn't mean anything. But no one wanted to go with Harvick. I wonder if that's because they didn't want to start his season off with a win. And then at the end, just a fireball of cars on the track on the last lap, which is a shame that they weren't able to race to the line. That thing was just too scary of a wreck. They had to throw the yellow, freeze the field. I thought for a minute it was Chase, as I'm sure a lot of you did as well. Everybody would have lost their mind with that. But Cup veteran Michael McDowell picks up his first win at Daytona 500. It's a cool Cinderella story, right? Anytime that you get a first win from a guy like Michael McDowell, or if it had been a Corey LaJoie, who also finished in the top 10, any one of those guys, if it had been, Joey Gase, any one of these guys. It was nice to see Kyle Larson able to keep it clean, put together a complete race, picked up a top 10. Kyle Busch was up there as well. It looked like he could have done something. From the clash to what we saw out of Kyle at Daytona, I think he's going to do just fine this year. That's for sure. The big momentum the big question I think is going to be, can Chase Elliott keep up the momentum at the road courses? I know he's going to be a popular pick. If he doesn't win one, that's okay. He's still going to do just fine, just like Kyle Busch and everybody else that we know is going to do all right there. So Sunday afternoon, 2:30, Daytona road course. I'm excited. I'll be dialed in, as I know you guys will as well. I did not put out a question for you guys this week. I will definitely do that next week. I just knew tonight was going to be a little long, and like I said, I'm trying to condense things a little bit for you guys. So there'll be a little bit more race talk here in just a minute with the next guest that we got coming on, but first want to do a little social media. Everybody, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast, YouTube, The Lap Traffic Podcast, TikTok, Twitch, Instagram, and Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. If you've made it this far into the show, you obviously have enjoyed the show. So wherever you're listening to the show, please leave a review. That would be awesome. As you guys know, you can listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean, or wherever your favorite hosting site is. And you can even tell Alexa to play The Lap Traffic Podcast. This past weekend, Sunday, was huge as far as followers were concerned on Twitter, which was great. Picked up well over 100 new followers, which is great. Right around 250 away from giving away that Clint Bowyer diecast and some Lap Traffic swag. So hopefully that can happen here in the next couple weeks. Keep the retweets and all that going. Speaking of new followers, Nicholas Peretti at Syracuse Soldier, a Penske fan from New York, did 3 tours, Iraq, Afghanistan. Man, thank you so much for your service. If you're listening to this, shoot me a DM. I'll send you a T-shirt, man. Thank you so much for your service. Really appreciate that. AU Tiger 7222 at AU Tiger 7222. NASCAR fan and a Red Wings fan down in Alabama. Go Red Wings, baby. And then Nate at Titans fan _13, Penske fan from Indiana. Welcome to the show, guys. Hope you like it. Tell your friends, all that good stuff. There's t-shirts, hoodies, mugs on the store, on the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. And of course, if you want some stickers and a koozie, all you got to do is fill out the contact page on the website and I will send them out to you for free. Don't forget to go to manscaped.com and use code LAPPED, L-A-P-P-E-D, get 20% off your order and free shipping. How awesome is that? Okay. All right. That's social media. We got one more blockbuster announcement, and that's going to come up with our guest right now. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his third appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He's the new digital content editor and reporter at jayski.com. He's a wrestling fan, so we're, of course, friends. Welcome back to the show, Dustin Albino. Dustin, what's up, man? Welcome back.
Thanks for having me. I am drained physically, mentally. Not emotionally, almost emotionally, had the Daytona 500 got rained out.
Right.
but yeah, you know, not much sleep the last couple nights, but I'm excited to be back and talk Daytona.
I'm excited to have you back, man. Let's start with this, man. Talk about the move over to Jayski. Scott and Jay are great. They've been big supporters of the show. What started that partnership, man?
Yeah, so I'll just give you the full story. Yeah. And I'll try and condense it. So I was in Phoenix, went out there for the championship weekend. Obviously, what was the first weekend of November? And while I was there, I got an email from Scott. And he mentioned, hey, like, we're looking for someone to fill this position, or add a position, I guess you would say, at Jayski, and we're interested in you. And right there, like, my eyes lit up. I'm like, oof, this is a huge opportunity.
Sure.
And the fact, you know, Jayski's a site, and I'm sure you're the same way, but my whole life I've been going on it for racing news.
Yes.
And the fact that they want me, or they're looking at me, like, of course, like, I'm not going to say no to that. Doesn't matter what the role is.
Yeah.
But so yeah, we had a Zoom call once I got home. I think it was November 10th. And then by late November, we had the deal done essentially. So yeah, I'm super excited. It's in its infancy, obviously. Started on January 1st. It actually worked on New Year's Day. but yeah, it's super fun. And, you know, I'm starting to adapt to it now that the season's getting underway. Been really busy the last couple of weeks, but really excited for the opportunity.
Sure. No, man, that's so cool. That's awesome. Yeah, like you said, you know, for me, you know, growing up and all that, like, Jayski's where you went, like you said, for news. It was where you were able to, you knew quickly how you could access, you know, previous race results and stats and all that kind of stuff for fantasy,
paint schemes,
all of that, man. And to this day, you know, for the show, I use them. I'll go there and I'll pull up the PDF versions of the race results and the standings. And it is just the most user-friendly and, you know, perfect spot for that diehard NASCAR fan. You know, if you're the novice NASCAR fan, you're obviously going to NASCAR.com, right? Because that's that's the quick click that everybody would know to go to. But if you've been a fan of the sport for a minute, Jayski.com is synonymous with the sport, and it's awesome, and I love that, man. That's so cool.
Truly, it's a one-stop shop. I feel like it's an encyclopedia for NASCAR, and it's
absolutely
been that way for 26 years now.
Yeah.
And this year, you know, I'm really happy that they're allowing me to do some original content and still keeping, you know, my name out there in that sense, in terms of getting interviews and telling stories, because that's something. I mean, I went to college obviously for journalism, and I knew what I wanted to do from I was an infant pretty much. So I'm very happy that they're not changing their ways, but adding to their ways.
Absolutely.
In terms of me telling that.
All right, so that was going to kind of lead to my next one. So, you know, Jayski does, they do news and content, but, you know, they really don't have, like, the interview and story piece. So what are people going to be able to see from Dustin on Jayski? You know, what's the role and what kind of creativity are you going to be able to have there?
Yeah, so the creativity is, I mean, I have a lot of freedom. I can pretty much do whatever I want, which is great. I'll just pass the idea by Scott or Amanda or whomever. And if they have any story ideas, they can send them along my way too, and they know that. But yeah, so I pretty much handle all the Xfinity stuff on the site.
Okay.
I mean, honestly. So with that, over the last few years, I'm sure, you know, if people follow me or whatever, they know that I've been very in-depth on covering the Xfinity series with Front Stretch for the past 4 years.
Yep.
So it's a seamless transition, truly is. And so we'll have a weekly Xfinity piece, which we started last week with Austin Singer, obviously the reigning and defending champion, discussing kind of his competition and outlook, repeating. You know, this isn't a lost year for him because he's trying to repeat as champion, though he knows his future for 2022. So we'll have that. And honestly, like, I'm a fan of just unique storylines and stuff that maybe other outlets won't go get or won't go chase. So I got a fun story coming out at the end of this week. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to say what it is yet.
I love teasers.
Yeah. I got a fun story coming out at the end of this week, and I would just expect more of that from Jayski because, like I said, I have a lot of creative freedom, and I can kind of pick and choose what I want, which is awesome.
That's so cool, man. I'm excited. I can't wait to see what you guys are able to put together. So you were down at Daytona this past weekend. From a media perspective, you know, I was only able to get to one race last year at MIS. You know, have things changed much? Is it still limited to just the press box? You know, from a media side of things, you know, did anything change, or you know, what do you expect to see change at the track? You know, over the next few weeks at the events down there in Florida, and as we get out to the West Coast a little bit.
Oh, it's changed in terms of, you know, from previous Daytona 500s, obviously.
Sure.
So, you know, I would say every other year. Have you been to a 500 before?
I've not been to the 500, no.
Okay. So I would say typically, you know, now, like last year, there's probably, I mean, the media center is full and it's huge. There's probably up to this is a rough guess, but 200, 250 different people, not necessarily outlets, but people covering the race, which, I mean, that's, it's a huge event.
Absolutely.
And this year, I think the number was 33, I heard.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, and they were spaced out, obviously. So I was like, I was in the press box. There's probably 15, 17 of us up there. Everyone else was in the media center. So, yeah, I mean, personally, like, I was originally supposed to be in the media center. I asked if I'd go in the press box. Luckily, that request got accepted.
Cool.
Because I wanted to watch the races, obviously.
Right.
And there was a lot of racing last week. Started a week ago with the Clash. So,
yeah, watch it on TV at home.
Yeah, exactly. And it was much different because you don't have that access. And I do know, like, some outlets were able to get some interviews with the drivers or whomever, even if you're just in the media center and they bring in the winner. I mean, that's getting access, which is great.
Sure.
So I don't know if things are going to change. I think that's Daytona's probably like a rare occasion. And I know they had it at Phoenix too, where they allowed both the media center and the press box to be used, but you can't go back and forth, obviously.
Right. Yep.
So I don't know how long it's going to last. It does limit your creative freedom. I mean, we talked about that a minute ago, but I think it limits that because you can't go chase stories after a race like the other night where there's a ton of cool storylines.
Absolutely.
You just got to rely on NASCAR and Zoom and the PR reps for all the drivers.
Sure. Absolutely. Are you going to be heading back down this weekend? What's the travel looking like for you with Jayski?
Yeah, I'm not sure yet. For this weekend, no, I will not be in Daytona, unfortunately. I guess I had enough of that place this week because they tried
film.
To keep me. They tried to keep me a whole extra day.
Yes.
So, yeah, as far as that, I don't know what my next race will be. I'm sure I'll do a lot of the Northeast races. I also I got this for Christmas from my girlfriend. I got this poster, and it's every state or every race in the United States.
Yep.
Every NASCAR track, I should say. And I'm trying to fill that thing up. So I might, you know, get in a few more new venues I haven't been to.
Yes. So is it the thing with, like, it's got like the circle and you got the stick? My wife
sticker.
Got me that for Valentine's Day. Yes.
Oh, really?
That's so cool. Yeah. No, literally. Yes. That's so cool.
That's awesome. It's really cool. And I filled mine up the night I got it. You know, the night we exchanged gifts on Christmas. So.
Yeah.
I've still got quite a few to go though. So I want to fill them up.
Yes. I'm with you. I had aspirations last year hitting a few, and even this year, you know, even if, you know, and I get it, there's bigger media channels and outlets out there than me, you know, I totally understand that. And, even if I can't get in as media through the podcast, if I can get to the Bristol Night Race or the Martinsville playoff race, man, I'll go as a fan. I don't care, because those are venues that you don't mind if your first time there is as a fan. So I definitely hope to get to a couple new tracks this year myself, for sure.
For me, so the first time I ever went to Bristol was 2018. It was obviously as a reporter. And same thing, Martinsville, the playoff race, 2018 as a reporter. And those two places, I mean, they're obviously iconic within the sport. And I agree, I think they can't miss venues at least once, you know.
Absolutely.
Just go once. And Bristol, I mean, truthfully, is my favorite track on the circuit. So, but Martinsville's not bad either.
Yeah, no, I love it, man. That's awesome. All right, man, I think it's time that we make a little announcement, sir. What do you say? Does that sound good to you?
Let's do it.
All right, Lap Traffic Nation, I've been selling this all weekend long. Announcement number two of the night. I'm pumped. Dustin is no stranger to podcasting and used to do one previously, but time restraints with the new gig at Jayski are going to maybe limit that ability. I've been looking to expand the audience of the show. So Dustin, Scott Page, Jayski, we got together and talked about a little partnership here, if you will. So I'm excited to announce that Dustin will be joining me on a couple times a month for some bonus Lap Traffic content shows with the support of Jayski, which is just awesome. So Dustin, I am so excited to do this with you. Thank you so much for coming on board to give some time a couple times a month, and I think it's gonna be a lot of fun.
I do too, and thanks for having me on, Brandon. I truly appreciate it. This is my third time on, like you said earlier, and now we're going to be doing it. I mean, maybe if it's a long month, maybe we'll do three in a month.
Yes,
you
absolutely.
Never know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'd like to talk about this sport. I could talk hours about this sport. Something I think we all love that, you know, that cover it. So yeah, any platform I have or I can join to talk about it is you know, is worth it to me. So yes, my time is much more limited now. I have learned that about the new job, and obviously it's a full-time job, my first full-time job in the sport. So I'm just thankful that you let me have this opportunity to have Jayski, you know, be part of it, even if it's just a few times a month. So much appreciated.
No, I'm looking forward to it. I think the options are going to be limitless. Lap Traffic Nation, if you guys have any topic ideas, shoot them my way. You know, maybe we'll do a history thing. Maybe we'll do a track thing, driver stuff, trends, you name it. You know, it doesn't just have to be about the most recent race. You know, we can have some fun from a topic perspective. We can do a series, you know, whatever. And that's what I'm excited about, is to do something different from the usual Tuesday show, have someone that's as knowledgeable as you are with the sports, and to have some fun and do some bonus content and expand the show, expand your audience, and it doesn't hurt that Jayski's and Scott are willing to jump on board either.
Yeah, sure. Obviously, the ideas are limitless, so send them on in, and we'll definitely, you know, chat about them.
Awesome, man. I'm looking so forward to that. All right. Let's just talk a little bit about the racing that we saw this weekend. I want to start with the trucks because I'm a big Corey Roper fan. He's been on the show a couple times. What a finish there coming out of the gate there, turn four, to end that truck race, man. What do you think of the truck race?
Yeah, the truck race, I mean, it was kind of slow to get going because there's so many cautions. There's 10 of them, which is one shy of the track record, which was just 2 years ago. But, yeah, I thought, I mean, it's your typical truck race at Daytona. A lot of carnage, a lot of chaos.
Yep.
But Corey Roper on the last lap, I thought he had it. But then from the press box, you see him, you know, he's getting out further and further ahead each, you know, going down the backstretch, and you're like, uh-oh. Like, they're going to come with a run here eventually.
Yep.
And
yep,
that's what happened. So, and Jordan Anderson, too, he almost snuck up. He had a hell of a last lap, went from 11th to 2nd.
Yeah.
And it spun his brother-in-law out of the way, you know, out of the way on that same lap. So, it's that was I don't know if it's strange is the right word, but it was a – I don't know, it was a crazy race because there was so much chaos. But
yeah.
Ben Rhodes got the victory, and, you know, more than likely in the playoffs.
Yes, that's for sure. And now let's talk about the Xfinity Series, your favorite series there, if you will. What did you take away from the Xfinity Series?
Well, so, you know, let's throw it back 2 weeks ago. I talked to Austin Cindric for that article I mentioned that I did last week.
And yep.
I said, my question was, aside from, you know, defending your championship and winning it again, what do you want to do? Like, what's left to do in the Xfinity Series? And he told me straight up, I want to win a super speeder race. And guess what? That's what he did. And he kind of dominated it. He and Harrison Burton were tied for the most laps led, but That too. I mean, a lot of carnage, a lot of it right in front of me. The groundskeepers had their work cut out for them on Saturday evening, which the grass was soaked, so really they couldn't do much about it. But yeah, that race was, I mean, it was a good race, I thought, entertaining. And you had a real battle until the end, and obviously Stindrick got his first win and started that title defense off in a good way.
Absolutely, he did. And then the Cup Series, I love the fact that McDowell won. I was talking with Jeff Striegel on the show last week, and I said, I go, man, I just got this hunch that we're going to get a first-time winner. And sure enough, we did. McDowell, you know, I know a lot of people rag on him on social media, but he's a good guy. I was ecstatic for him to get that win. And, you know, I think what I like the most about that is that, you know, he's I know the mathematics aren't there because we could have more than 16 different winners, but in the grand scheme of things, the reality of that isn't that strong. So McDowell's going to be in the playoffs, and we got another Speedway in the playoffs, and he's pretty good at the plate tracks, you know? So I think that's great that his team knows that they're going to be represented in the playoffs.
I do too, and that's a big bonus. And obviously winning Daytona 500 comes with a lot of money as well.
Yes, so absolutely.
It'll be the second time Front Row makes the playoffs, the first one being with Chris Buescher via fog. And the other night I thought we were going to have a fog out too. It was bad down there in Daytona Sunday night after all the rain. Sure. But for McDowell, I mean, it's a popular win. I know, you know, the fan base, I don't know if it's a popular win for the fan base per se, because Michael McDowell, I mean, he's not a household name, right? Like, sure. He never won in 357 previous starts. So I don't know. I don't know if it moves the needle one way or the other, but internally, like if you're in the sport, around the sport, popular win.
Sure, absolutely.
He's a guy that's done it the hard way. He's worked his way up. You know, he got shot the Cup right away back in 2008 with Michael Walter bracing. Didn't even last the full season. Then next year he's doing starting parks, and he's kept doing starting parks. And his first full year in the series wasn't until just 4 years ago, where he ran all 36 races for LFR. So I think that's a really popular win. And like you said, we do have Super Speedway in the second round of the playoffs, but we also got a road course in that same round. And he's a very crafty road racer. So don't be surprised to see him get another top 10 this weekend.
I'm looking for – all right. So speaking of this weekend, Chase Elliott, does he keep the road course record alive this Sunday?
Yes. Yes.
Strong yes. I love it. All right. I'm gonna place a bet now.
He's just – I don't get why he's so good at road courses, but he just has a knack for them, and he has for the last 3 years. I mean, even on the Clash last week, at the beginning of that race, he did not have – he had to go to the back to start it, but he did not have a top five car.
Yeah.
And they just kept – and that's a short race. It was only 35 laps, and they kept working on it, and then coming into the final – corner, the chicane there on the front stretch. Yeah, he moved Ryan Blaney out of the way, and he finished second.
Yeah,
but it's an exhibition race one, and he was going for the win. And he said straight up, like, if he's not going to go for a win, he's in the wrong business.
Absolutely, so, I got a lot of I appreciate that 100%. You know, he didn't do it on lap one. He didn't do it with five to go. He did it, you know, last lap, last turn, basically. So that's, I mean, when you're that close, that's what you got to do.
And I don't, I mean, by no means do I think he wrecked him intentionally. They're really good friends.
No,
But it was a racing deal, and I don't expect it to be that close this weekend. I mean, I think Truex, who probably honestly should have won the Clash until he wrecked himself, is Elliott's biggest competition, but that's been the same way for the last 3 years.
Sure.
So I don't see anything changing.
Nope. I love it. I'm with you. All right, man, where can everybody follow you on social media and get your stuff out on jayski.com at?
Yeah, I've got a couple things coming out this week. The first being on Wednesday morning, and then one later in the week that I was teasing at earlier. Follow me at Dustin Albino, and you know, make sure you'll see all my content cover the sport, hopefully in depth. Hopefully it's what everyone wants. If not, shoot me and tell me what I'm doing wrong. Shoot me a message on Twitter or wherever you can find me. But yeah, go there, on Twitter. Follow me at Dustin Albino. And, of course, follow at Jayski for all your racing information.
Awesome, man. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, huge thanks to Dustin for calling into the show tonight. Be on the lookout for some bonus content with Justin Dayski, Jayski, I can talk, in Lap Traffic over the next couple weeks, man. Dustin, great to catch up with you. Lap Traffic Nation, how is that for announcement number two? Lap Traffic, Dustin, Jayski, bonus content. You guys are going to get your fill of the Lap Traffic podcast between the bonus shows with Landon and Parker with the Carnomaly 500 and Dustin and Jayski. Oh, man. Right now, you guys are getting 8 shows over the next 4 weeks. Starting with tonight's show. I'm pumped. I'm excited. I'm excited to expand. I think it's going to be awesome, and I cannot wait. So hope you guys are as excited as I am about these announcements tonight. Okay, we got to keep pressing on. Let's get Mr. Aaron Studwell on the line for this week's weather segment. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, you can follow him on Twitter at RaceWeather, along with Brian Newdorf at NASCAR underscore WXMAN, keeping us up to date on all the weather happenings this weekend at the Daytona Road Course. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Aaron Studwell. Sir, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
I am fantastic. Thank you very much. We got lots to talk about here. Let's see how quickly we can do it. Because before we even started, I had ran down our lineup, and I forgot I have to bring this up for at least 30 seconds. Michigan basketball with an impressive victory this weekend, Sunday, as a matter of fact, over Wisconsin. They haven't played in 3 weeks. They were down, 12, 13 points, and came back in the second half, persevered, and picked up almost a double-digit win there.
Yeah, I was impressed. Like you said, the three-week layoff, they were down by 12 at the half, doubled up Wisconsin in the second half, 40-20, and like you said, almost doubled the win. I would say I was surprised, I guess pleasant, just impressed, I think they use your word. Just to be able to come back and play like that against another ranked team after having so much time off. And then I think it says a lot about what the nation thinks of them, for them to still be top five even after the layoff.
Yes. Oh, they moved up during their layoff time period.
I know. That was even better, yeah.
So, yeah, no, just great win there. All right, man, let's talk about this past weekend at Daytona. Let's start with the massive weather system. You guys talked about it last week on the show. We knew it was coming. And it came, did it stick around longer? Did it develop stronger? What ended up happening with the weather system that moved through?
Yeah, it came and it didn't leave. What the difference was, we were looking for that cold front that really stayed north of the track all weekend. We had originally forecast, like when we talked a week ago, that would move through and that we were going to have storms kind of the midday and then move out and then they clear out. This wound up being a system where the frontal system stayed north, became stationary, stayed north of the track, and then a lot of the upper level winds were coming from the southwest to northeast. So you had these storms develop along the coast, these little disturbances coming through, and it just kept coming and it kept coming. Then you had a break. And it kept coming. And we finally, one thing Brian and I did, I had a couple people give me grief about it. I was like, look, if we are patient, if NASCAR is patient, well, that's one thing we can't forecast. How is NASCAR going to react? What are they going to do?
Sure.
Because I've got people asking me what's going to happen. It's like, I can tell you the rain's probably going to end around 9.
Right.
But at what point is NASCAR going to give up? I was a little surprised they stayed with Fox let them stay with Fox.
Yeah.
Now, I shut it off. It just went about my own day after a while and forecast and updated and like, okay, we're 20 minutes green flag. I'm like, oh, okay, I can put the TV back on now.
Yo, no, for sure. Yeah. I would say I would have to think, one, obviously Daytona played a role. The fact that they were able to have fans there. Yeah, I'm sure some of that played a role. The fact that they wanted to get something in for people you know, Sunday. You know, I was telling some people that were over here, you know, I think they'll run Sunday night if they could run Sunday night, because I would bet, even though people will start to eventually shut it off as it got later into the evening, but the ratings were probably higher at 9:30 on Sunday night than they would have been at 11 a.m. or 1 p.m. on Monday morning into afternoon. So I'm sure that also played somewhat of a role.
Yeah, I would love to see the rating numbers, and I should probably look them up at some point. And I think you're right. Now, and one thing I didn't think about it, and I'll say this flat out, the fact that they did have fans there, telling them all to go home after 15 laps.
Yeah, that would, yeah.
That wouldn't have been good luck.
No, especially because they did almost the exact same thing last year, and they did run Monday. So, all right, man, let's talk about this coming weekend. Back at Daytona on the road course. How are we looking? We got all three series running again. We got the trucks Friday night, Xfinity mid-late evening on Saturday, and then Cup Sunday afternoon.
For Friday night with the truck series, we've got another cold front coming through. The timing's kind of iffy. Right now, I'm going to go midday showers and thunderstorms with the potential for severe. Going into the night, I'm thinking the front's going to be passed. That's iffy right now. It's been slowing up in the models. We do have a chance for evening showers behind it. And then even if the showers move out, we're going to get a very strong northerly wind. Temperatures will be in the 50s. Normal, there's, you know, the whole country, except for like the Florida Peninsula, is under a deep freeze. Normal highs for them is 74. The high on Friday is going to be 66.
Wow. Yeah. A little chilly for those guys down there.
Going to Saturday, that later start in the Xfinity series, mostly sunny behind that front. If the front moves through, like we're currently thinking, be the probably the best day of the three. Most from a weather perspective, I know the fans that are going to be here. Oh, it's not going to rain? Maybe not.
And how about
64
Sunday?
Over 41, and then Sunday, increasing clouds, slight chance, isolated showers and possible thunderstorms. Those will be the Florida variety, kind of pop up here, there. There's going to be southeasterly winds, so kind of a pop-up showers. High of 70, low of 45, so below normal temperatures. It's going to be nice, maybe rain Sunday for a couple. And I think pretty good chance of rain for Friday with the truck series.
All right. Well, we got lots to look forward to. Maybe we'll see some slicks. Maybe we won't. Who knows? Let's wrap it up with the head-to-head lap traffic fantasy weatherman battle. Week one is in the books. Newdorf has you on a narrow margin here. He's picked up the head-to-head win, and he's sitting 26th in the standings versus your 31st. So it's early. It's early.
I'm 31.
Right.
I'm 31.
So looking forward to tracking to see how you guys do throughout the season for sure. Lap Traffic Nation, make sure you follow Aaron on Twitter at RaceWeather along with Brian Newdorf at NASCAR_WXMAN. Make sure you keep up with those guys. They'll have you updated as we get closer to race weekend. Aaron, great to catch up with you and looking forward to talking to you in a couple weeks, man.
I'll be back. You know where to find me.
Yes,
at RaceWeather on Twitter.
All right, man. We'll see ya.
You will.
Later. Bye. Oh, Lap Traffic Nation. Great to catch up with Aaron. Look forward to getting Brian Newdorf on next week. Oh, it is time. There are some dogs barking. That's right. It is time for this week's Lucky Dog Lap Down segment. First time of 2021 to do the Lucky Dog segment. I'm excited. You guys know the drill. After race weekend, you can tweet your Lucky Dog and Lap Down picks. I'll read them on the show. I'll tag you guys after the show. Or you can call the Wave Around hotline, 248-965-9538. Leave your picks there, and I'll play them throughout the show. Back again this season. I'm also going to be keeping a tally, and at the end of the year, we'll do a Lucky Dog Lap Down recap show at the end of the year. So without further ado, I'm going to get into my picks. My lucky dogs are Michael McDowell and Corey Roper with two awesome finishes. My lap down, it's got to be the weather, right? Okay. Let's get to your slew of tweeted responses. Scott at 1985 Wagner kicking us off with the tweeted responses like he always does. He's got his truck edition. Jordan Anderson made a surprise finish. Lap down, James Buescher, not the way to start the season. Xfinity lucky dog tie with Moffitt and Bowyer with Stewart in the booth. And let's see, Scott slapped down. Ty Dillon, bad decisions cause a wreck with a top-level team. Let's see here. We got Mike O at Odell underscore Michael Trucks. Lucky dog goes to the underdogs, Corey Roper and Jordan Anderson, for their great finishes. Trucks slapped down. Derek Krause hit everything but the pace car. Let's see here. Mike's lucky dog for the Xfinity Series, Austin Cindric, wins the first ever Xfinity Series Daytona trophy for Mr. P. And lap down for the Xfinity Series, JR's wallet after Junior's wallet after all his cars got wrecked. Mike's a lucky dog for the Cup Series, McDowell winner. I don't see anybody else getting this. And Mike's Cup lap down, Team Penske half a lap away from two possible winners. Gina at GoLX48's lucky dog has to be Michael McDowell. Lap down goes to the field that raced single file lap after lap before everyone decided to go at the same time. Yeah, we'll get that there, won't we? Rowdy at the Rowdy Dragons. Lucky dog McDowell puts himself in position to capitalize on his first victory at Daytona. Lap down Newman comes home from Daytona with another headache, man. Oh, you just hoped he was going to be able to fit, you know, just get a top 10, right? You wanted that so bad for Newman after last year. You know, just not the case there. But at least it was not nearly as scary as last year. Michael at Mad Mike Nebbia's lucky dog McDowell. Lap down Kyle Busch for starting that first big one. Larry at LB Lee 58. Lucky dog McDowell. Lap down the Penske drivers. Matt at Matt X Kolb. Lucky dog. It's that time of the year. Matt's excited. I love it. If anybody puts anyone but McDowell for lucky dog, they need to reevaluate their life. The man finally won. He is consistent at plate tracks, finally came out on top. Lap down, where do I start? I think the one who had the most unlucky break would have to be Blaney. The grass did him in. If that was pavement or turf, we may have a different race. Great first race of the season, going to be a great year. Jess at Iowa NASCAR fans, lucky dog McDowell. Huge win for a great guy and a small team. Lap down, Team Penske brought four fast cars to the track and goes home with four expensive piles of trash and no trophy. I like that, Jess. Mick at GoDucks42 underscore Mick, lucky dog McDowell won Daytona and was my fantasy pick. Man, Mick, I tell you, man, what a first pick, man. You're the only one. I love it. Lap down for Mick. Early wreck, several cars eliminated before it got started. Kevin at the Hauntest Truth, lucky dog McDowell for stealing a playoff spot. Lap down, Matt D, Byron, Bubba, Chastain, Dillon. Those caliper drivers of potentially losing a playoff spot. I like where your head's at there, Kevin. I like that. Jeff at JBev1789's a lucky dog and lap down. Super Speedway Racing, love it and hate it at the same time. Closest racing by far, obviously, but so much out of the driver's hands for only four of them. It's good for what it is, but would not want more. And to wrap out the tweeted responses, Carson at Carson Hoglins, lucky dog McDowell for being in contention at the end, getting his first win. Also, the entire week, great entertainment. Lap down, rain delay, too many big contenders wrecking way too early in the race. All right, let's get to your calls on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hi, Brandon. It's Matt at Camper News calling in post-Daytona 500. And wow, what an incredible finish to the Daytona 500. And, you know, that wreck at the end. And I'm just thankful that everybody was okay, that everybody got out of their cars safely. And, you know, Michael McDowell. The trend continues with a third first time winner in the Cup Series at the Daytona 500. 2001, Michael Waltrip. 2011, Trevor Bayne. And this year, Michael McDowell. And, just seems the number ones, for the year. It seems we always have a first time winner in that. Trend continues, and well-deserved congratulations to Mike McDowell. He was in the right place at the right time and was able to come out on top and win the Daytona 500. So anyway, my lucky dogs for this week, and I got a couple. First of all, Michael McDowell, no question, in the right place at the right time, won the Daytona 500, and, you know, first-time winner in the NASCAR Cup Series. You said it last week, Brandon, on your show, and you said it would be a first-time winner in the Cup Series potentially this season and maybe at the Daytona 500. And you were absolutely right on that front. And my other lucky dog is going to go to the track workers at Daytona today with the weather that came through NASCAR. I'm so glad NASCAR made the right decision to, you know, continue drying the track and trying to make an effort to get the race in tonight. And they got it done. And so hats off to NASCAR and hats off to the fans who were there till the end. They got one heck of a show. So anyway, enjoy your week as always, Brandon, Lap Traffic Nation. I'll talk to you next weekend after the Daytona Road Course. Take care, Brandon. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Oh, Matt Camper, thank you for kicking off the 2021 Lucky Dog lap down picks on the Wave Around Hotline. Appreciate you as always. Great calls there for sure. All right, let's get to the last call on the Wave Around Hotline this week. You know who it is. It's the voice of the Wave Around Hotline.
What's going on, Lap Traffic Nation? Voice of the MF and Wave Around Hotline. Screw it up. I'm Rusty. It's the first race of the season. Daytona 500. Lucky Dog, I hate to say it, because I'm not a fan of his to begin with, as he seems to wreck my driver every other friggin' week, Michael McDowell. First career win is the Daytona 500, extending that really weird streak of 2001, 11, and 21. We got a first-time winner in the 500 every year with Michael Walton, Trevor Bain, and now Michael McDowell. Does that streak continue in 10 years? Tune in 10 years and find out. Lap down. I've got nothing really to say in terms of a lap down other than it was a typical, whatever we call these races now. I don't like them. I ain't saying anything else other than I don't like them. I don't like seeing cars wrecked. Lucky Dog, as usual on these types of races, is NASCAR and their safety. There were some pretty scary events at the end of that race, and I'm glad every driver dropped a window net down and walked out of the car and got to go home to their family. And I am ready for the season to actually begin on the road course at Daytona. Good chance I'll be there. Hopefully I am. Calling in on the Wave Around Hotline on the way home. See you, Brent.
All right, Mr. Andrew Kansian. Yes, I think I have heard confirmation he is going to the Daytona Road Course, so that should be a hell of a call next week. And yeah, what a trend, right? Every 10 years, we got a first-time winner, so I hope like hell I'm here in 10 years doing this, and I will definitely be placing some parlay bets there, right? Or some action bets on some possible long shot winners in 10 years at the Daytona 500. That is it for this week's Wave Around Hotline calls. This is it for the Lucky Dog Lap Down segment. Guys, brought the heat for week one, which I absolutely love. Keep them coming. Keep the calls coming. Like I said, use the Wave Around Hotline for whatever you want this year. Lucky Dog, you want to comment on the race, whatever you want to do, it's there for you guys, and I'll figure out a spot to put it on the show. All right, let's keep things rolling. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, it is time to close out this show with the Lap Traffic Fantasy League. That's right, I cannot believe it. Over 120 players and over 110 people submitted picks, which is awesome for week one. Very little attrition, which I was very excited about. Don't forget to submit your picks by 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Thursday. I'll get some reminder emails out tomorrow and throughout the rest of the week. Don't forget to check the website as we progress throughout the season to see who you picked. That way you guys don't have to keep track of it. Next to your name are all the numbers of the 2020 Cup playoff drivers, and as you pick them, I mark them off in red so that everybody knows where everybody stands. Keep the Twitter interaction up on Twitter. Use the hashtag LTFantasy for all the comments and interacting with all the Lap Traffic Fantasy players. Let's see, we got 12 races to go in segment one with all the Xfinity and truck races in between. I'm excited to bring on this week's guest picker. He finished second weekly high this week. It is Michael Mason. Michael, what's going on, man? How are you?
Oh, nothing much. Appreciate you having me.
Absolutely, man. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the league. Week one's in the books. What do you think of the league so far, man?
Well, so far, it's great. Very competitive. It's sort of different having picked all three different Truck Series, Xfinity, and Cup. I'm used to doing just Cup Series, but it's definitely pretty fun and challenging.
Awesome, man. I'm glad you like it. The Truck and Xfinity Series were added on a couple years ago, and it is definitely gaining popularity, which I think is awesome. And new this year are the bonus point features and all that good stuff. So like you said, it was competitive last year, and I am really excited to see how competitive it gets this year, to see out of 120 people, what 16 make the final 10 race playoff shootout there at the end of the season. So I'm pretty excited about that. What'd you think of Daytona this weekend, man?
Oh, it was very fun. The truck race in Xfinity was very good. Cup Series was typical Daytona. You had your big wreck and everything. The whole weather thing sort of messed everything up. I wanted to stay up and watch the last segment, but I had to go to work early the next day, so unfortunately I had to wait and DVR it. But I loved the actual outcome of McDowell getting his first win.
Absolutely. That was very cool. Let's see here, man. I'm going to run down the standings here real quick. It's week one, and in first place is Marcus Hearns with 154. In second place is our guest on tonight right now, Michael Mason, with 135. And Fox's own CJ Wolliver making his lap traffic fantasy league debut, coming in strong in third with 131 points, with the MOATF podcast tied there as well. Lap traffic longtime fantasy player Greg Whited in fourth with 126. Robert Riggs in fifth with 125. Stephanie Holler from the Fast Cars and Freedom podcast coming in at sixth with 122. Jess Rose in seventh with 117. Charles LaPearl and Stefan Florence in eighth with 114, and Eddie Greer from the EG3 podcast coming in at ninth with 112, and Hayes Perkins wraps out the top 10 with 109 points. Guys, I'm so excited because I'm not in last, which is something I'm normally saying. I'm not in first. I got a long ways to catch Mike here. I came in strong at 89 points with John Hunter, AJ, and Reddick. Mike, who were your picks this past weekend?
I think going for Truck Series this week, I'm going to go with Moffitt.
Oh, no, this past week. Who'd you have for Daytona?
Oh, this past week at Daytona, if I'm not mistaken, I know Xfinity, I had Cindric. And for the Cup, I had, I think, Logano. And Truck, I cannot seem to remember who I had. I think I had last year's champion.
Oh, Sheldon Creed. Very nice.
Yes, Sheldon. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good job. Good job. Very nice, sir. All right, man. Well, before we get to our picks, I am going to get our week high winner, Marcus. Marcus Hearns was able to leave a voicemail with his pick. So I'm going to get to those picks real quick with Marcus, and then Mike and I are going to make our picks.
Hi, guys. It's Big Mac Mark Zero. Sorry I couldn't make it onto the show this week, but here are my picks for the Daytona Road Course. For Cup, I might choose Chase Elliott because he is the defending race winner at the Road Course. For the Xfinity, I'll have to choose AJ Allmendinger. And for the Truck, I'll choose Austin Hill. So yeah, thanks for having me, and I hope y'all have a good day.
All right, those were Marcus's picks. All right, Michael, you ready to make some picks for this weekend?
Yes, I sent my picks in already.
All right, man, who are you taking for the Truck Series this week at the Daytona Road Course?
Truck Series, I'm going to go with Moffitt.
Moffitt, solid pick there. I am going to roll with Zane Smith this week at the Daytona Road Course for the Trucks. I'm excited to watch these trucks slide around the Daytona Road Course. Over to the Xfinity Series, sir. Who are you rolling with this weekend?
I'm going to go with Austin Cindric.
Austin Cindric, back-to-back. I like that. I'm going to go AJ Allmendinger. I bet both Cindric and AJ are going to be some popular picks this week. And wrapping it out with the Cup Series this week, sir, who are you going?
Chase Elliott.
So, that's another popular pick. I am going to go with William Byron this week. I'm going to save me my Chase Elliott pick for this and a little bit down the road, see if it pans out for me or not, man. Well, hey, Mike, thank you so much for calling in. Good luck this week, and look forward to maybe having you back on, man.
I appreciate it.
Take care. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 221 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast, YouTube, The Lap Traffic Podcast, TikTok, Twitch, Instagram, Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Go get something on Manscaped. Use code LAPT and get 20% off and free shipping. Don't forget about the contest, 250 to go. Huge thanks to Dustin Albino, Landon Castle, Parker Kligerman, Aaron Studwell for calling in. Don't forget, there's going to be a bonus show this week. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!